Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Bava Kama Daf Nun Vav Amud Bet, taking a look at the second Mishnah. So we really have to look back at Nun Hamud Bet to look at the Mishnah. We're only going to look at one line from Mishnah Bet in the sixth parak of Bava Kama. Hinicha v'chama, if you left the animal out in the sun, oshema sora l'chereish sholtev katan v'yatzav v'zika chayav. Or if you handed it over to incompetent, went out and did damage, then you are liable. Mesara l'ro'eh. This is the part we're going to look at. Nichnas ha'ro'eh tachtav. If you handed it over to shepherd, the shepherd then stands in his place. We'll have to see who that is and what the referent is. Now, back to Nun Vav Amud Bet near the top. Mesara l'ro'eh, nichnas ro'eh. Amri tachtav deman. So in the Beit Midrash, they ask the question, if you hand it over to ro'eh, he stands in place of whom? Ile matachtav de bal behema, you mean in place of the owner of the animal? That's so obvious it doesn't need to be stated. Tanina charazimna, mesara l'shomachirim l'shol l'nosu socha l'sholcher. If you hand over your animal to any one of the four shomrim, kulan nechasu tachat abalim, they now stand instead of the owner. Ela tachtav de shomer. It must mean that if you handed it to a shomer and he handed it to another shomer, the second shomer is now in his place. V'shomer kama iftole legamre, and the first guy is off the hook. That stands against Rava. If I entrust my animal to a guard, to a shomer, and he hands it over without asking me to another shomer, the first guy's still on the hook. So it sounds like it's against Rava. So Rava would say that the interpretation of the Mishnah, that he handed it over to Ro'eh, means the Barzilei, to the apprentice of the shepherd. In other words, I, the owner, gave it to the shepherd. The shepherd had then designated one of his apprentices to watch this particular flock. And the Ro'eh is still liable. The Orche de Ro'eh, the Mimsa the Barzilei, because that's what a shepherd typically does. Alright, so now that not only defends Rava, it actually supports Rava, saying that the shepherd is still liable, even though he handed it over to one of his apprentices. Now, Ika da Amri, some people actually read this as coming from the opposite direction. Miniktani misaralu evelok tani misaralu acher, shmaminamai misaralu roeh, masaro elabarzilei. From the fact that the Mishnah uses the example of a roeh, and not just he handed over to another, that indicates that we're talking about a shepherd who handed it over to his apprentice. Because that's the typical scenario. But if you hand it over to somebody else, then we don't say that the fellow's off the hook. Why? This seems to support Rava, who says that if a shomer hands it over to a shomer, the first guy is still on the hook. Our scenario is when the owner handed it to a ro'eh, the ro'eh then entrusted it to his student, to his apprentice, the ro'eh is still liable. So Amri lo, dilma orcha de mil tiktani v'huadin l'acher, perhaps they were just picking a typical example, and it would be true if he handed it to another person, that the second person would now be fully liable, not the first, and that's against Rava. So Rava comes out of this without support, and without being challenged either, but defended. Okay, Itmar. Now we have the following discussion, which is going to take us through to the rest of this podcast. Shomer Aveda. What happens when somebody is watching a lost item while he's identifying the owner? Rabba Mar Kishomer Chinam Dami, Rabbi Yosef Mar Kishomer Socher Dami. Rabba says the fellow is like a Shomer Chinam, which means, of course, that the only case under which he'd be liable would be Pshia, real neglect. Real negligence. And Rav Yosef says he's a Shomer Socha, which means that even if it gets lost from his property or if it's burgled from his property, he's still liable. Rabba Marka Shomer Chinam Dami. Rabba says, why is he Shomer Chinam? My Hana Kamatile. He doesn't get any benefit. He's not paid for watching it. Therefore, he's exactly like a Shomer Chinam. Rav Yosef Marka Shomer Socha Dami. Why? He gives two explanations. One is, by Hana de Labaye Lametfale Riftala Anya. Since he doesn't have to give bread to a poor man. In other words, as Rashi explains, ha'osek b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah, since he's involved in the mitzvah of taking care of the avedah, he's exempt from another mitzvah, such as a poor man comes to him and needs some help. Therefore, he's essentially saving money of tzedakah. So, havei kashomer sachar. This is obviously a very difficult argument, and so we have another explanation. Ikad mefarshiyachi. Some people explain it as follows. Rav Yosef Amar Kishomer Socher Dami. Why? Since the Torah obligated him against his will to watch this item, he's like a Shomer Sachar. Okay, and now we will see the arguments in this issue. Etiver of Yosef L'Rabba. First, Rav Yosef challenges Rabba, Rav Yosef according to Shomer Sachar, and he quotes the following ruling about an Aveda. Hechzira l'makom she'irena, if the Meshiv Aveda returned the item to a place from where the owner can see it, and Ochayav l'tapelba, he's now off the hook. Nignava o avda, but if it was stolen or lost, chayav v'achriyuta, then he is liable. Now, the simple read of that is, my nignava o avda must be that it was stolen or lost. Lav nignavam beitov avdam beitov must mean that it was taken or lost from his own house, which means he's a shomer sachar. If he's liable for being stolen from his house, he's a shomer sachar. Lo, don't read it that way, Rabba answers. Mimalkom shech zira, it refers to the first line, meaning if you returned it to a place from where the guy can see it, then you're off the hook. And if from that place it was stolen, then you're liable. Ah, but that is an internal contradiction. V'aktanya chayv l'tapelba, we said that if you put it somewhere where he could see it, you're done. So Amarle, hacha mayaskin, and Rabba says, you know what we're dealing with here? K'gon shech zira b'tzoharayim. Now Rashi creates a scenario here, sort of a daily schedule, which we haven't seen otherwise, but he says that people are typically at home early in the morning, but by midday they're gone. So therefore, if you returned it at midday, then that's the second half of the statement. V'tartek tani, here we'll explicate. There are two statements. V'achik tani, achzira shacharit l'makom shirena, if early in the morning you returned it to a place where the guy could see it from, u'shchiach da'ayel v'nafik v'chazilei, and the guy's coming in and out and sees it, eno chayav l'tapel ba, then you're off the hook. Hechzira b'tzoraim, but if you brought it back in the middle of the day, l'makom shirena, even though it's a place that he could see it from, were he home, so l'shchiach da'ayel v'nafik v'chazilei, but he's not there to come in and out and see it, v'nigno of da, and it was stolen from there, chayav v'achreyuta, then you're liable. And this would be sort of a contemporary example would be if somebody brings a package to your door and leaves it towards the end of the day when you're either home or you're coming home, that's one thing. If they leave it, on the other hand, during vacation week, and by the time you get there, somebody else took it, so that would be sort of a parallel. So therefore, Rama says that Breita is referring not to having it stolen from your house, but rather stolen from that outside spot. When are you liable if it got stolen from there? When you put it there at a time when the owner would not typically find it right away and somebody else came and took it. But if you put it there when he's coming in and out of the house and he's around the house, then you're off the hook. All right. Etevei, Rav Yosef has another challenge. Liol amuchayv ad shechzirena l'shuto. You're liable as a meshiv aveda for the security of the lost item until you bring it back to his reshut. My leolam, what does it mean you're always responsible? Lava filu meto, doesn't that mean even if something happens in your house, like a shomer sacher, you're liable? Shomer kusomer shomer sacher dami? So Amar le, Rabba answers, modina lachem, there's a partial concession, b'ba'al lechaim, I agree with you about an animal. The kema de nakti lehu nigra b'raitai, since they walk around outside, bain in tiruta yaterta, they need extra watching. Therefore, when you bring an animal into your house, as an Aveda, you have to watch him more carefully, and if something happens, you're responsible, because that's really considered neglect if you don't tie him down or put him behind a fence or something. But otherwise, for another kind of item, like what Rashi refers to here as metaltalin, you are not liable in your house because you're a Shomer Chinam. Now the guns turn. Etevei Rabba l'Rav Yosef. Rabba challenges Rav Yosef. The Torah says, you can see in Pasuk 1 on the page, Hashev Teshivem. You find something, you have to indeed return it. Ein li ela beveto. So far, all I know is that you have to return it to his house. Liginato l'chorato minayin. How do I know you could even return it to his garden or to his yard? Tamalomra teshivem. Mikom lakom. Hashev teshivem. Return it anywhere. My liginato l'chorato. So the question is, when the Braita says liginato l'chorato to his garden and to his yard, what does that mean? If we're talking about a fenced-in garden, a fenced-in yard, that's the same as the house. We haven't expanded anything. It must be referring to an unfenced garden and an unfenced yard. And as long as you put it there, you're off the hook. So obviously you're like a Shomer Chinam, where you don't have liability further than that. So Rav Yosef answers, Marley, Leolam, Leginato Mishtamer, Lechorato Mishtamer. We're talking about returning it really to a fenced-in property. And you think that's the same as Beito, in which case we haven't expanded anything? We've definitely expanded, but in a different direction. That's teaching you that you don't need to have the awareness of the owner. In other words, I found a lost item. I've identified who the owner is. I go and put it in his fenced-in yard. That's fine, and I don't need to notify him. He'll find it. Kidder Rabbi Elazar, de Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar taught the following thing. Hakol tzachim dat balim. Every kind of return needs to have awareness of the owner. If I'm a shomer and I return something to the owner, but I don't tell him, I just put it in his garage, that's not considered returned until I tell him. So if it's stolen at that point, I'm liable. Chutz me'ashavas aveda, but Rabbi Elazar says the one exception is hashavat aveda, returning a lost item, does not need dat balim. Why? Sharei ribtabo Torah hashavot abe. Because the Torah said hashav teshivem, return it any way you can. Return it to his house, return it to his yard, return it, and don't tell him as long as you return it. Okay, so therefore the yard that we're talking about, according to Rav Yosef, is really a fenced-in yard, but the chidush of the statement is that you can return it there without him knowing it, and now hashev teshivim is a reference not to location or level of guard, but awareness of the owner. Now, Amarli Abaya le Rav Yosef. That was Rabba's challenge, two challenges to Rav Yosef, and defended. So far we've had two against one on Rabba's part. Now, Abaye takes up Rabba's position, and he challenges Rav Yosef, his Rebbe, and he says, V'adlo tisper ad-shomer aved ish madami? You don't agree that a shomer aved is like a shomer chinam? V'yamar chiyah bar Abba Rav Yochanan, ha-toin ta'anat ganav ba'aveda. Now, it's important to note this, and we'll deal with this more fully in the 7th chapter. If a ganav, meaning the burglar, steals and is found, he has to pay double. That's kefel. If a person claims, a person who's responsible for something, claims that something was stolen from him, was niganav, and turns out he's lying, he has to pay double. And that's something that we learned at the beginning of Merubah. Now, hatoin tanat ganav baveda. If somebody has an aveda, and he publicizes it, by the time the owner comes up, he says, it was lost, and it turns out he was lying. Mishan tashlumi kefil. He has to pay double. That's right. He doesn't say it's lost. He said he found this item and he then claims somebody broke into my house and stole it. And it turns out he's lying. He really has it. He has to pay double. Visal kataitach shomer sachar ave. And Abaye says to Rav Yosef, if you really think that a shomer aved is like a shomer sachar, then saying that somebody came in and stole it didn't get him off the hook. He still had to pay for it anyways. Which means that his lie didn't get him anywhere. And the din, as we'll see in the 7th parak, is you only pay tashlume kefel when you lied and said it was stolen from me if that lie was going to get you off the hook. So amay mishalem tashlume kefel, if he's really shomer sachar, why does he have to pay kefel when it turns out he was lying? Karnabai shlume, you should just pay karen, the exact amount. So Rav Yosef answers as follows. His claim, in this case, is that armed robbers came and took it from him. Armed robbers came and took it from him as a shomer sachar. He really would be exempt if that were really true. And now it turns out he's lying. That's why he has to pay kefil. So Amrle, listo mizuyan gazlanu. Abaye says back, you can't say that that's a ganav. Remember the statement of Rabbi Yochanan was atoin tanat ganav. How can you say this is tanat ganav? Armed robbers are not ganavim, they're gazlanim. And a gazlan never pays double. So therefore, if you claim listo mizuyan took it from me, it turns out you're lying, you pay karen. So Rav Yosef had this very strange kind of hybrid where he says, at least a mizuyan, an armed robber, is considered a ganav. Why? Because kevan de mitamer miinshi, they hide from people. In other words, they're furtive. They don't just walk up straight up and put their guns out and rob somebody. They sneak around and they rob. Therefore, they're called ganavim. So therefore, on the one hand, a shomer sachar, this is a gneva that a shomer sachar would be exempt from. On the one hand, a shomer sachar certainly is exempt if armed robbers come into his house, put a gun to his head and say, give me the pikadon. He certainly that's an onus. On the other hand, such a claim is a claim of ganav, and therefore if it turns out he's lying, you'd have to pay double. So therefore, Rav Yosef says the shomer aveda could still be a shomer sachar, and this would all work. So now we're going to have to deal with this particular point. Could a list in mizuyan be called a ganav? Because if he can't be called a ganav, everything falls apart, and Rabba's point is now made. If he could be called a ganav, then Rav Yosef still has a thread to hold on to. Etevei. So we now have the challenge that Abaye brings to Rav Yosef in comparing shomer chinam to shomer sachar. Rashi points out, he doesn't know where this quote is from. But it's really not our concern. Our concern is this. Lo, imamarta b'shomer chinam shekem mishalem tashlumei kefel. You cannot compare shomer chinam. Because after all, shomer chinam could end up paying kefel. And that's, of course, if he lied and said it was stolen from me. Tomer shomer sachar shekem mishalem tashlumei kefel. You cannot, therefore, apply it to shomer sachar. Whatever you're applying, who doesn't pay kefel. And again, we don't care what the context is. What's clear was that within this particular argument, shomer sachar is seen as weaker than shomer chinam because, shall we say, is less liable, oddly enough, because he doesn't pay kefel. But if you, Rav Yosef, think that an armed robber is a ganav, then you could have a scenario where a shomer sachar pays tashlume kefel, but toin tana, at least a mezuyan, if he claims armed robbers came and took something from him and he's lying. On the one hand, that's a claim according to you of Geneva. On the other hand, it gets him off the hook because it's onus. And therefore, he would have to pay double once it turned out he was lying. So how can that breita, wherever it is, say that a shomer sachar doesn't pay double? So Amar Lehachikamar, Rav Yosef answers very simply. He says, he says, a shomer chinam always will pay tashlume kefel if he lied about this. As opposed to shomer sachar, who will only have to pay kefel in that very unique circumstance where he lies and says it was armed robbers. So he says the breita still stands. The distinction between shomer chinam and shomer sachar is still valid, and that is that a shomer chinam, whenever he says a ganav took it from me and he's lying, pays kefel, as opposed to a shomer sachar that will only do it with a specific kind of ganav. Etevei, Abai brings another challenge. In the context of a shoel, the Torah says, v'nish baro meit. If I borrow something and it breaks down or dies, I'm liable. Ein li ela shvuro meita. All I know from there is that I, as a shoel, am liable if it breaks down. G'dei v'aveda minayin. How do I know if it's stolen or lost from me? I'm liable. So Marta kal v'chomer. The answer is, I have a kal v'chomer. Uma shomer sachar shepata bo shvuro meita. A shomer sachar is exempt in the case of the thing dies. I'm hired to watch an animal, and the animal dies. I fed it properly, and the animal dies. I'm exempt. But chayev b'gnev avedav, I'm still liable if it's stolen from my house. So shoel shechayev b'shvuro meita, so a shoel who is liable, as the Torah just said, in the case of it dying, and odin shechayev b'gnev avedav, certainly is liable in the case of gnev avedav. V'zeu kalachomer shein alav tshuva. And the breita, this is the part that gets us, the breita says this is an unassailable kalachomer. So then Abaye turns to Rav Yosef and says, V'sakadai techlis to mezuyin ganav, who if you really think that an armed robber is called a ganav, am I in a lav tshuva? Why is this kal v'chomer unassailable? I could show you that a shomer sachar is more liable than a shoel because he could pay kefel if he claimed list to mezuyan, which a shoel could never claim because in any case he'll have to pay. So if he claims armed robbers got him, he still has to pay. So therefore, the claim is not going to ever obligate him for double. So Amar Lei, Rav Yosef answers, Kesavar Haitana Karnabal Oshvua Adifa Mikfeila B'Shvua. He says the fact of what you pay Bekaren without taking an oath is more indicative of the nature and the character of the Shmira than what you would pay if you lied and then if you lied under oath and therefore would have to pay kefil. So he said it's still possible that a Shomer Sachar would have to pay kefil, which a Shomer Shoel wouldn't do, but that doesn't tell us that a Shomer Sachar is more severe, and therefore the Kal V'chomer is still an unassailable Kal V'chomer, because in a standard case, a Shoel always is more liable than a Shomer Sachar. Now, Lema Mesaye Alei, perhaps we have support for this position, because a Socher Par Michavero V'nignava, if a fellow rents, I have to remember that renting is the only one of the four Shomim that's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah, and therefore we have a machloket that we've already seen between Rabbi Yehuda and a mayor about whether a socher, a renter, is like a shomer sachar or like a shomer chinam. So a socher par michaver of nignava, if a fellow rents a cow from another fellow and it's stolen, the guy says, I don't want to take an oath, I'll pay you for it. He pays him $5,000 for the cow. And then we find the ganav. The renter has now acquired rights of collection and therefore the kefil goes to him. Savrua Rabbi Yehuda. We thought that this follows Rabbi Yehuda. Damar Shomer Socher Kanosa Socher Dami. That we thought that this follows Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a renter is like a Shomer Socher. And since in this scenario, the guy said, I'll pay and I won't take an oath, obviously that means, obviously we're talking about a case where the oath would have helped him. Otherwise, there's no choice. To take an oath, we're going to have to pay anyways. What's the point of the oath? So clearly, the oath would have gotten him off the hook. So, hechidami, how could a shomer sachar get off the hook by saying it was stolen? I'm going to katoin tan at least a mezuyan that he's claiming that armed robbers stole it. And then we say that if we later find the ganav, then he has to pay double to the socher. So what do we see from there? That his claim of lista mezuyan really is a claim of ganav. If he was lying under oath, he would have to pay double. That's why when he instead pays, he gets the rights, and when he find the ganav, they pay double to him. And yet it's a claim that would have gotten him off the hook because he's claiming lista mezuyan. But of course, all of that rests on the assumption that this follows Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a socher, which is this case, is like a shomer socher. Amr misa radka Rabbi Yehuda. Who says this, Rabbi Yehuda? Damar shomer socher kenosa socher dami. Who says this follows Rabbi Yehuda? Dilma krab meir sfirulu. Maybe this bright to follows Rabbi Meir. Damar socher kashomer chinam dami. And as a shomer chinam, it's all smooth. If a socher is like a shomer chinam, and he comes and claims it was stolen from me, he'd be off the hook. And if instead he pays, and it really was stolen, then we find the ganav, the guy owes double to him, and we don't need to get into armed robbers here. Ibaitaimor, the other possibility is Kedamachli, Rabba Bravu Avatari, this we saw earlier, Socha Ketzab Meshalim, we had Rabba Bravu, I had a flip position on Ramir Rabbi Yehuda, Ramir Ramir Kashomer Socha Rabbi Yehuda Ramir Shomer Chinam, so it could be Rabbi Yehuda, according to that, it's still Shomer Chinam. And then we have a third explanation, which is Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira Marachamaskinam, a toin ton at least in Mizuyan, Rimsali Stevens at Shane Mizuyan, it could be a Shomer Socha, according to everybody. And he claimed lista mezuyan, which would have gotten him off the hook, because it's armed robbers, it's ones. But then he just paid. And they didn't want to deal with the shvuit, paid. And it turned out that it was regular burglars and not armed robbers. So it really was a ganav, so they okayful. Who do they okayful to? To the socher, because he paid his way out. Okay, we'll stop at this point. And in the next podcast, we'll go back and finish the a little bit further into the second Mishnah and take a look at Nafla Lagina Venehenate at the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Bet and make our way through Perek Hakones. Everybody should have a wonderful day.